Well, hello everyone. We're turning to the book of Daniel and we're going to read some verses from the chapter 2. Not too many, just a few verses. We're continuing to consider how that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, he will institute a kingdom and he will reign and rule over all the earth and all the nations of the earth. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, reference is made very clearly to this event. We're going to read then verses 34 to 36 of chapter 2, and then some more verses just down below that. Daniel chapter 2, we're looking at the verse 34. And here, Daniel is interpreting the vision that the king had of the great image made up of the different metals, and how that image will be destroyed in the end, and Daniel is explaining what this all means. Verse 34. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Now, just a couple of more verses. We're not going into the full interpretation that Daniel offers. It's worth reading it, of course, but skip down to the verse 44. And in the days of these kings that were represented by the 10 toes of the 2 feet of the image, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So, Daniel explains to the king that the various regimes that will dominate the Gentile world in and around Jerusalem, in and around Israel, will be brought to an end one day. It will be brought to an end at a time when 10 kings will rise up to rule, to dominate the area symbolized here by the image. And when these 10 kings come to power, a great stone fall upon them and utterly destroy them, and God will set up a kingdom which will fill the whole earth, and which will last forever. Now, it's that kingdom that we're thinking about, and how that kingdom, set up by the Lord Jesus, at the end of this age, will affect everybody in the world. Not just the Jews, but affect everybody. All the nations of the earth. Now, I have explained, at least on 2 occasions, but I'd like just to mention again, that while we believe that Christ is presently in control of all things, the Lord rules and reigns. He's sovereign. There's nothing happens contrary to his will. Yet, there are many things that it pleases God to permit men to do today, which will come to an end when the Lord Jesus directly takes over the reins of this world at his second coming. I was thinking about this just before I came down here to the assembly. And I was thinking about it while I was doing my own Bible reading, or one of the chapters of my Bible reading today, and I thought I would share with you just what I read. Mark chapter 15. This was the chapter, one of the chapters that I was reading today. And it has to do with the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, his appearing before the Jewish rulers and leaders, and then they bring him before Pilate. And Pilate, though very reluctant to condemn the Lord Jesus, and indeed very anxious to let him go free, for he knew he had done no wrong, he couldn't do that. The Jews presented such arguments to him that he realized that politically he just couldn't do it. They said, if you let this man go free, and he calls himself a king, then you're not being faithful to Caesar, because Caesar wouldn't tolerate anybody within his dominions who calls himself a king. And if you tolerate this man calling himself a king, then you're no servant of Caesar, and you'll be in trouble. And Pilate knew that. And so he reluctantly said, all right, crucify him. And we read in Mark chapter 15, the verse 16, that the Lord Jesus is handed over to the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, who will carry out the crucifixion. Let's just read now. Verse 16, Mark chapter 15. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, the colour of a king, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Of course, it was mocking worship. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. As you read on down that chapter, you read about the crucifying of the Lord Jesus, and the things that happened when he was crucified, the darkness, and the supernatural events that took place at the death of Christ. And the centurion who was there at the cross said this in verse 39, And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. Now what I want you to notice, boys and girls, is this. Here is sinful man putting out his hand against the Son of God, mocking him, sneering at him, piercing him with a crown of thorns, smiting him with a reed, spitting in his face, slapping his face, getting down on their knees and pretending to worship him. This they did right in the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. And he did nothing. He allowed it to happen. That's the point I want you to notice. He allowed this to happen. And it's happening still. It's happening still. Boys and girls do it. They despise the Lord. They reject his word. And the Lord does nothing. He does nothing at the present time. Though we all know there is a day of judgment coming. But that's what makes this age different from the age to come. Because in the age to come, when the Lord Jesus Christ directly rules and reigns over all the earth, men will not be allowed to openly, defiantly mock God. They'll not be allowed to do it. When Jesus is king, when Jesus rules and reigns. You just remember that. That's the difference. Oh yes, the Lord's on the throne, but he is pleased in this day not to act against wicked men, as he will one day act when he takes over the government of this world. Now, you will notice in the verses we read in Daniel that the kingdom that God sets up shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. There's only going to be one kingdom when Jesus comes again. One rule, one authority, And it's the rule of Christ. It's the rule of Christ. I'd like to go back to Daniel and look at chapter 7, in the verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. I'm going into all the details there. But really what we're reading about is the Antichrist and his total domination of the people of God during what is called the Great Tribulation, the time, times, and dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. Verse 26 says, "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Gonna be a change then. There's Antichrist dominating everything, abusing, persecuting those that he hates because of their relationship to God. But, it says in verse 26, the judgment shall sit. He'll not go on forever. Christ shall come and judge him. And the dominion shall be taken away from him, and it shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. And here is a new kingdom, a new regime. It's the kingdom of God. And the saints of God will rule and reign with Christ. I'm showing you these scriptures in order to highlight the fact that a great change will come into this world when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Psalm 47. Listen to what we read here. I'm putting these verses, and I said, I think the last time I was here, that we could spend a long, long time looking at various portions in God's Word that touch upon the same subject. Because you see, it featured very much in the thinking of God's people. Whenever God's people were at prayer in times gone by, maybe they were thinking of the difficulties they were facing and the bitterness of the enemy and how they were trodden down by the enemy. Their thoughts then would turn to a coming day when God would change that and the enemy would no longer be in control, but God would take over and he would give the kingdom into the hands of his people. So that's why you read many times in the scriptures of the prophets speaking of that day. And in the book of Psalms in particular, you find the psalmist praying, meditating, rejoicing in the hope of that day. It's just a pity, boys and girls, we weren't as acquainted with that day as were the Old Testament saints. And we're not as well acquainted with it today. And one of the reasons that is so is because that view of prophecy has been discarded, has been supplanted by false views and false notions. You know how Martin Luther began to read his Bible, and as he read his Bible, he said, "What I'm reading here is nothing like the religion that I understand as Christianity. I'm a monk and I go to the chapel and I take part in masses and I count my beads and I pray to Mary and I pray to Joseph, but I don't find anything like this in the Bible." And gradually, as he read more of the Bible, he and many others at that time began to realize a false system has taken over and the true gospel has been pushed out and we're following a falsehood and the nations are in darkness concerning God's truth. And the Reformation was when God in mercy turned the nations back again to the Bible. I believe the Lord will do that again as this age nears the end, regarding the truth that God sets forth in prophecy. Most people believe erroneous things about the coming of the Lord. We don't believe what the Old Testament saints believed and what the early New Testament saints believed, because falsehood has come in, squeezed out the truth and taken over. Oh, that we might understand things as did the Old Testament saints. Listen, here's one of them, and here we close. 47, Psalm 47, you probably have got there. Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. You see how excited the psalmist is here at the prospect of Christ taking over and ruling and reigning? He shall subdue the people under us. Now think on that. Don't ever read God's word without noticing every word you're reading. He will subdue the people under us. Who's speaking? Who's speaking? An Irishman? An Englishman? An American? No. Who? A Jew. And when he says us, he's talking about the Jews, Israel. And here you have a reference to how at the end of this age, when the Savior takes over, the Jewish people are going to have a chief place in the kingdom of God. Read on, quickly. Verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. You know, it was in reading verses like this that the Jew said, boy, there's a great time coming for us. And the Jews in the days of the Lord Jesus would have read this and they said, oh, maybe it's coming right now. Look at the things the Lord Jesus is doing. Maybe he's going to inaugurate this wonderful time when the nations will be subdued under us. And that's why they came to the Lord so many times and said, are you going to introduce the kingdom now? See, they didn't understand that the Messiah had to come and suffer and die at Calvary to make atonement for sin. And then in the future, he would come as the glorious king. They didn't understand that. They were dazzled, if I might put it like that. They were dazzled by the prospect of these days of glory that the Jewish people would enjoy. And they never took any notice of passages like Isaiah 53 that speaks about Christ and his humiliation and his rejection and his suffering. They just ignored those passages. Now God's people act in a similar fashion to the Jew. Only instead of ignoring Isaiah 53, they ignore passages like this that speaks of the days of glory that the Jew will enjoy. When God, as Paul said, grafts him in again to the vine. I've got to finish just reading these verses to you. Verse 5, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. It's the day when Christ will reign and rule, and his people Israel, along with the saints of God out of every nation, will share in that day of glory. Think on these things, boys and girls, please. Never forget that there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus will call men to an account. And he'll call boys and girls to an account. And he'll ask boys and girls what they did with his word offered to them in the assemblies in Kilskerry School. Just you remember them? Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word, dear Lord. Bless your word. Oh, make it profitable. Make it profitable. May the seed take root and grow to your honor and glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.